This is the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast, and we're your hosts, James and Maria Collins.
We are on a mission to help you answer the divine call in your life, to experience transformation for God's glory, and to advance His kingdom.
The world needs more people who are confident in their identity and are living intentionally to fulfill their life's mission.
Your legacy depends on you leading yourself well and taking action towards a clear vision for your life.
Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
We are here to help you renew your mind so you can stop chasing the things of this world and start living a purpose-driven life that is uniquely yours.
We want you to experience abundance in all areas of your life, but it's not just about you. It's about leaving a legacy that endures far beyond your time on earth.
God has entrusted you with unique gifts. You get one life to use those gifts to leave a lasting impact for generations to come.
Your legacy begins now.
Welcome back to the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast. We're your hosts, James and Maria Collins. Hi, James.
Hi, Maria.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am good. What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about guiding our children's identity.
I love that.
It's so important. And I think it's a very relevant topic for today.
But before we go there, should we talk a little bit about our journey as a parent?
Sure.
Okay. Because we are not parenting experts.
Right. We're learning and growing. We've got an 8-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son, so we're fairly new at this parenting thing, but yes, we are very intentional and we put a lot of thought and effort into how we parent. We talk a lot about how
we research, parent. We read books, we learn how to deal and have communication with kids, how to understand and help them to learn and deal with their emotions.
Yeah.
They're very little humans and, you know, they don't know how to do all. We as adults sometimes don't know how to do that. So learning about ourselves and growing and developing ourselves has helped a lot in how to parent and help our kids to become emotionally healthy adults in the future. So that's our goal.
Really key. You know, we're so focused on constantly growing ourselves and working at becoming the best versions of who we can be. And we're trying to bring our kids along that journey with us. And like we said, we're still learning and growing. By no means are we experts or pretend to be when it comes to parenting, but we do want to share our own experiences and what has worked for us so far. And the jury's still out for our kids, but so far at 8 and 5, I'm pretty proud of them.
Yes.
I think they're well-developed children and getting better every day. So hopefully what we have to share is helpful to somebody out there. And I think at the end of the day, it's like a lot of things that we talk about here. It's about awareness and intentionality when it comes to parenting. And so we've got a few different topics here in the next few episodes that we want to talk about in the realm of parenting. And all of that is going to come with this caveat of we're not experts, but I hope our experience can help you.
The thing about parenting I have learned so far in my life is that, your children grow and they go through different seasons. And every time you think you got it, now we're doing it. They grow and they change and then you go back to zero. Like, okay, here we go again. So we're in this journey of learning and growing. So and we love it. And we love to grow and learn with them and learn from them.
And I think, too, we talked about like our own personal growth journeys. Ultimately, your kids become a mini version of their parents. So much of who we are is based on what we saw modeled for us as parents. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I think that's a good segue into today's topic, which is our children's identity. Mm. And it's the parents' responsibility to help children understand who they are. And for us, we do that in a number of different ways, not the least which is we talk often about what it means to be a Collins, and we tie our children's identity to the family identity, which goes back to our family core values and all of that. But the whole reason why it's so important to focus on your children's identity in the first place is it's like what the Word of God says in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. So that's for all kinds of teaching for children, but especially when it comes to their identity. If you can help a child understand from a young age who they are and help develop that sense of identity and understanding of who they are as they grow, they become unstoppable in adulthood because they're already so far ahead of where their colleagues are or on their peers.
Yeah, they will know who they are, right? Because they will know their identity. It will give them confidence to show up as who they are.
Yeah, one of the things we started the second episode of this podcast talked about identifying your own identity and the importance of that. The same holds true for kids. And especially if you want your kid to be successful in life and pursuing their purpose, in order for them to have a strong purpose and in order for them to have a strong mission or vision for their life in their head, they need to understand who they are.
And then remember that the first 7 years, right, of your life, that's when a lot is engraved in your brain. It's formed, the development of your brain and all of that. So that's why starting at such a young age is so important, because that's going to be the subconscious when you're older and all those things that will be in you. So those are the years of your life where you have certain patterns, certain behaviors and certain things that will carry through your life if you don't work on them later on. Mm-hmm. So planting those seeds and that information in their brain such a young age, it is so important. I loved when I was pregnant, about to have a child, Zoe, at the time, and you were finishing your college degree, and you took one of the child development classes, mm-hmm. and you learned so much, and then you share with me, and then we both learned so much even before Zoe was born. So we knew some of these things on how to do, what to do when she was, even before she was born. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love what at that time that class was perfect timing for us.
Yeah, and what you were talking about in the first 7 years, what that class taught me was that much of somebody's personality is developed in those first 7 years. They're such crucial years, like you said, for brain development and certain synapses and patterns being created in your brain that ultimately manifest through your personality. Mm. So much of personality development happens in the first 7 years of life. And again, like you're saying, it illustrates how important it is for parents to really be mindful and to be aware and to be intentional about what they say to their kids and how they're leading and teaching and developing their kids, especially at an early age. That's not to say that you can't teach older kids and, you know, you can't change thought processes for older kids or help an older child understand their identity if you weren't intentional or focused on that while they were younger, but it certainly makes it easier the younger they are.
Okay, so let's get into the how. How can we as parents help shape and support the creation, right, the personality and the identity of our child such in a young age? So what is the first topic we have, James?
So first and foremost, it's about consistently affirming and validating the child. So regularly affirming your child's inherent worth and unique traits, understanding like what makes your kid successful, what sets them on fire, what are their unique strengths, and calling that out in them as often as possible.
Yeah, and that is so good. I love that because one of my love languages, it's words of affirmation, right? And for me, it's so impactful when somebody calls out the good, right? The good. And I remember as growing up, right? My dad, I didn't grow up with a lot of calling out of the goodness, but just showing what was lacking. And that, it made me become perfectionist because there was never enough. It was never good. And there was always something that was lacking or something I didn't do the way it was supposed to be
and
done.
And you felt like his love was dependent upon you performing in a certain way.
Maybe. Yeah. So that's why when you say that, it's and that being my love language, right? How much lack of that it was in me. Now, I've never thought about this. This is just coming up right now. Some therapy happening here.
Yeah, therapy session live on air.
But then that, you know, because we learn those things and we do it with our kids, it just becomes more aware to me. It's more clear to me the impact that brings, not just with your child, but like even in our relationship, we have learned to do this more often, to call out the good, to affirm, to celebrate when they do good things, instead of always saying, you need, you know, there's opportunities here, there's opportunities, there's always going to be opportunities, but pointing it out, right, the good, the stuff that they're doing well, that they're gifted, so then that confidence grows in them that I'm good at this. This is who I am because of the repetition of talking about it.
Yeah. And it, like you were talking about with your dad, I really do. I think that there's this, what's the word I'm looking for? Performance condition placed on his love, at least in your mind as a child. Right? If all your dad ever spoke about was what didn't get done right, and you look at yourself and your identity through the lens of how your father sees you, and if your father only sees the bad, then you start to develop this performance condition to the affection that you get from your dad. And that's really important. Like, as parents, we are intentional about talking and speaking into our kids about who they are. And using a biblical perspective of identity, you're God's son and God's daughter, right? There's Psalms 139 talks about God knit us together in our mother's womb, right? Jeremiah, he talks about setting us apart. He knew us from the beginning before we were even born. Like, he has an intimate relationship with you because you're his son and you're his daughter. And that's what we speak into our kids. And as much as possible, and again, we're not perfect by any means, but as much as possible, we try to demonstrate for our kids that our love for them is not conditional. Yeah. It's not dependent upon them performing in a certain way. And that's, again, from the Bible.
And so let's talk about some examples of how do we do that. For me, when I drop the kids off at school, I always, right before I drop them off, I will pray for them. And then I speak things such as, you're a leader, not a follower, right? You make green choices for Noah when he goes to preschool, right? And we honor a teacher because we're honorable. We respect our friends. We're kind. We play. We're going to have fun. I speak all of this into them. And also for like you, problem solver, you know, make a win-win situation, all that kind of stuff that it seems like, you know, it doesn't seem like it's doing anything, but we have experienced this past year as Noah, as a five-year-old, to be a leader in his class, to go and actually solve problem between friends and be the one who bring the atmosphere into peace and put an order into place. So that made me realize even more like the power of speaking over him right before drop him off it helped him to have that confidence mm-hmm. that he can stand up, that he's a son, that he's a mighty man, that he's a son of God. He is a leader and he will make things happen.
Yeah, that's good. You know, another time I feel like we are intentional about validating or affirming our kids is when they are frustrated about their abilities to do something. And Zoe's, I see this from Zoe more often where I have so many conversations with her because I hear the words "I can't" coming out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. And I try to, as much as I can, use the word of God to redirect that thought process and redirect that from an identity standpoint. Mm-hmm. There's an "I can" mentality and an "I can't" mentality. And what I try to tell her every time I hear her say "I can't" is you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, because I want her to have that as her identity, mm-hmm. that she is a part of the body of Christ, mm-hmm. and in Christ, anything can be done.
Yeah.
And obviously I follow that up with practical wisdom of you've got to try and fail and try again, mm-hmm. and continue to practice and improve over time on anything new that you're trying to do.
Yeah. And with her, because she does definitely, of course, Noah is so physical and he can do more with his body, and she's more the brain side. So when she's trying new things that are physical, she has more challenge mm-hmm. with that. And one of the things, right, it says affirmation and validation. Even in the last episode she was here, we were talking about the monkey bar, because that the latest one, a big one that she accomplished, right, she couldn't do it and now she does it so easily. Mm-hmm. And I always remind her, remember how hard it was at the beginning. And then I ask her, what did you do? And then she says, I kept trying and mm-hmm. trying and trying. So just to get that in her head that she just got to try in a different way. Didn't work. Okay, let's go again. Didn't work. Let's go again. Because this is part of life.
Yeah.
Every time you grow, you're going to try something new. You're going to have to do over and over again. And you're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're going to, you know, face the floor and stand up and do it again. But you can't stop. So that's a great point about Zoe. Because Noah is totally the opposite. Like, I have seen him trying to climb a dirt wall and fall like 5 times and just keep going. And I was like, I'm the one, like, I was saying, stop it. He won't stop until he does it.
Yeah, he's a little machine. Anything athletic, anything that's a physical challenge, yeah, he's all over it. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. What's the second principle?
Teach values and principles.
Okay. What does that mean?
What does that mean? We teach them values and principles. First of all, we teach by example, right? And because no matter what, your kid is not going to learn from you talking. Your kid's going to learn from you showing up, from you doing it. Especially when they start growing, right? Because when they're kids, the parents are the heroes. You're everything. And then we become a teenagers. And then I remember my parents didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm. You knew everything.
Yeah. So if you're not living out what you're speaking, that's going to become very clear, very easy for your child as a teenager, especially when they know everything. But teaching values and principles. We teach, right? We have our core values. And then we talk about who we are and how we act. And we always have conversations about, you know, when we are in the presence of other people and other kids and they act different and our kids, we still continue with our principles in our house. This is, no, you're not going to do this because this is not who we are. And we have those conversations. And especially with Zoe, because she's old, right? So she sees more of other families, others, how they work, the environment and everything. And she comes and say, why can't they do that? And we can't. Mm-hmm. And that's when we are a Collins and in our house, this is what we said, because that's what the Bible says. When Zoe always, they always want to watch a bunch of stuff on TV. And I'm always very careful with what they see. And the conversation I have is that you were very precious to me, and I'm your parent, and I'm responsible for what comes in your mind right now. There's things that you don't need to see. There are things that you don't need to know right now, and I will protect you right now.
And there
now.
Are things that don't align with our values and principles.
Exactly.
Yeah. And where our values and principles come from, first and foremost, is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I try to be very intentional about, is teaching our children from the Word of God. We, at bedtime every single night, we read the Bible together. We have two different apps that we use, one that Noah prefers, one that Zoe prefers. And I let them both hear their version each night. And I could just let the Bible app play, because it'll tell the story for you, and say our prayers and go to bed, let them go to bed. But what I try to do is teach them through the stories that they're listening to every night. Not just let the story play, but really get into the depth of what that story means for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do have to pare it down to their level and explain it in a way that they can understand, which honestly I find difficult at times.
You're very good at it.
Well, if maybe I'm better at it than I feel like I am, but I struggle sometimes to simplify some of these stories in a way that I think the kids will understand, but
you
I
just
still
played
try.
Moses at church last Sunday and you were awesome.
Well, I mean, I could put on a costume and come up with a different voice, but the kids all enjoy that.
But you told the story too, right? So they remember. But anyways, going back to your kids, I think you're very good at breaking it down and making it simple for them to understand. I do believe sometimes use some hard words, even for my own brain, but that's my vocabulary.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, because my kids are going to grow up with a great vocabulary.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Okay, what's next?
Open and honest communication. So one of the other things that we've been really focused on in our house is creating an environment where we can be open and honest with each other. And I feel like we talk about this all the time, but we have a set of core values in our family, and we do. We talk about those all the time in our house. And that's on purpose, because that's part of who we are. It's part of the identity that our children are going to carry, is understanding themselves through the lens of our core values. And part of creating an atmosphere of open and honest communication means that when you and I miss the mark in living up to our values, our kids are allowed to hold us accountable to that. Just like they should expect to be held accountable by their parents, when I fail to demonstrate excellence because I've left my computer bag on a chair in the living room, Zoe will call me out and ask me, "Hey, Dad, is this what excellence looks like?" And that's exactly the words that I used with her when she leaves her clothes in the middle of the floor.
And open and honest communication also goes into having them understand that their thoughts and their feelings are validated. They are important. When they want something, when they want to communicate something, even though if the final decision is our decision, they need to feel heard, they need to feel understood, and they need to feel like they matter.
Yeah, and it needs to be a dialogue too. I feel like a lot of times, and we're victim, or not victims, but we're guilty of this as well, where I feel like a lot of times parents just talk at their kids. Mm-hmm. And I find myself doing that from time to time with the kids. And we've got to check ourselves in that. And there's a time to speak directly to your kid, but there's also a time when we're talking about this open and honest communication. It's a two-way dialogue. It's inviting the child into the conversation, because they will pay more attention that way. They'll apply more value to the conversation and to the lesson that they're learning if they feel like they're a part of it.
I think a good thing, a good example of open and honest communication, when you're redirecting your kid. For example, one of the things we would do it, right? Put our kids in timeout and then explain, first of all, you're in timeout because of your actions. So you're not attaching their identity to whatever actions that they were having.
Yeah.
So that was very good for us to say, this is an action. You can stop because this is not who you are. And we still to this day talk to them like this. Mm-hmm. You're acting this way and this is not who you are. So you can decide, and you know, it's okay to take your time, to go take a time out for yourself, to cry. We also talk about this as well. For example, today we were in the car and we were at the grocery shopping and Zoe was complaining a bunch about everything. And then she got in the car, she couldn't put the seatbelt on. But then she kept complaining. So then I said, okay, this is it. You lost your privilege today. You're not going to play with your tablet. And then she started crying because I said, you lost your privilege. On her head, she thought it was because of the seatbelt. And I caught that. So I made sure I stopped. I helped her with the seatbelt. And then I told her, I said, you lost your privilege not because of the seatbelt, sweetheart. You lost your privilege because the whole time we were at the grocery store, you were complaining about every single thing. Even when I was giving the thing you wanted, you were complaining because that thing wasn't the thing anyways. It was always something. So that was a good opportunity for open conversation, because then she understood the reason why she lost the privilege. It wasn't because she couldn't put the seatbelt on, which if I didn't had the sensitivity to understand that this is the way that she was feeling, she could have felt that she lost her privilege because she couldn't put her seatbelt on. And that's never the way I want her to feel, like that, you know, she's getting in trouble because she can't put her seatbelt on. But acting in a complaining way is a totally opposite from one of our core values, gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one growing that area. So we always have to reinforce that very clearly to her. And she was upset and then she was crying. And then I told her she could cry. I said, you can't cry, but you can't scream in the car because you're not alone. And then she understood that she couldn't cry. And then she started asking me, why can't I cry? I said, baby, I never said that. And then she started talking about crying. She's like, you never cry. I was like, I was crying 2 days ago. No one saw me crying. And I told him, I don't even remember what it was, but it's like, I was crying. I cry all the time. It's okay to cry. It's a way to process our emotions. Mm-hmm. And then 5 minutes later, she was fine and she was laughing. But I think those moments, if we are too busy or we are too focused on something else to not be sensitive to feel what our kids are experiencing and stop and have this open communication with them, the way that they're seeing and perceiving their life is very different than what the parent is thinking they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where there's a lot of miscommunication and misunderstanding.
Yeah, that's great. So next, we want to talk about role modeling. And I had talked before about, as part of the open and honest communication, our kids can hold us accountable when we're not living up to our values. And that's a reminder for us of the importance of modeling the behavior that we expect from our children.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more who we are is aligned to what we say, mm-hmm. or who we say we are, the more that reinforces that kind of behavior in our kids. So the more I act out what I tell my kids I value, the more they'll act out what they say they value, because we're modeling that for them.
Yeah, and there's other areas as well that, you know, like the food, it's one of the areas in our house for me, for example, that I always reinforcing eating health, eating vegetables, eating fruits, eating salads, and our kids know it's more acceptable to it. Zoe is more against to it, but because she's 8 and I do this since she was a baby. The other day when she decided to eat a salad, I almost fell off my chair. I remember I stood up and danced in the kitchen because It is working. Somehow it's working, right? The fact that I'm working out most of mornings and they're watching what I'm doing, they now want to come and work out with me. They want to do the things that I'm doing because they see that their mom is doing what she's doing. And it's not once in a lifetime, but it's a consistency. I'm showing the consistency. I always explain to them, why do I do what I do? Zoe just started gymnastics and she has been sore after, right? So I explained to her, this is how mummies feel as well after working out. It hurts, but those are your muscles growing. And then we talk about growing, right? When you grow, there's pain because you're being challenged. You're doing something you've never done before. Your body's changing. Your mind is changing. Whatever growth you're going through. So those are very important for you. Whatever you want to see on your child, you need to be the first one of doing it. Because if you're not doing it, this is never going to happen.
Yeah, the do as I say, not as I do doesn't work.
Yeah, and God teaches me so much through my kids because they are the little mirrors of us.
Yeah.
And there's things that I see on them doing. Like, this has helped us to work on ourselves even faster. Because if you don't want your kids to do certain things, you better stop doing them. And the Holy Spirit would nudge me so many times of, you know, I'm trying to correct Zoe, especially because she's a girl, I'm a girl, she's a little me. A lot of that is me, her personality, her strength, her abilities, a lot of what she is. And I always, sometimes I just stop and laugh and say, God, you are funny because you gave me this little girl to teach me so much. But, letting, also modeling, right, to be her example in whatever I do in my life. It's for them to know that everything's possible. All I want them to know, it's God is good. They have God forever, no matter what. He's always there for them. And so I always showing up, giving my best and pushing myself and being honest with them. When it's hard, it's hard.
And we're human.
Yeah.
We make mistakes.
And when we need to say sorry too, because we're mommy and daddy, but we do make mistakes.
Yeah.
We do. Sometimes I scream at them and I stop and say, hey, I'm so sorry. This is not the way I wanted it to be.
I ask for my kids' forgiveness all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Because again, that's modeling for them what we expect out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is perfect. And I don't want to set any kind of a thought in my kids' head that they're expected to be perfect.
Yeah.
Nobody is. That's an expectation that nobody can live up to.
Yeah.
And we're all going to make mistakes, and you and I make mistakes, and we make them right in front of our kids sometimes. We make them with our kids sometimes. And when we're cognizant of that, we have to take time in the moment to get down to their level and apologize, ask for forgiveness. And what I like to do is talk about what I just did and what I expect of myself, like the actions that I just took and how they're out of alignment with who I want to be and who I say that I am. And I ask my kids for accountability all the time. Help me with this. I don't want to act this way. If you see me acting this way again, please call me out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good because you're being a model for them and you're showing them that there's no perfection in life and we make mistakes and we just got to try and do our best. And tomorrow is always a new opportunity. It's a new day. It's a new chance for you to be your best self.
Yep. That's great. All right. So let's move on to the fifth and final principle that we want to talk about tonight is encouraging social connections and service. And for us, obviously, because of our belief system and how important God is in our lives, one of the primary social connections that we help reinforce for our kids is connection through the church. And most of our kids' closest friends are children of our closest friends who all go to our church. They share the same faith. They share the same principles and values. And that's why we can trust when our kids go to their houses, they're going to hear a lot of the same teachings. They're going to hear a lot of the same values and principles being espoused at one of our friends' houses that they'll hear here in our own home.
But when it comes, like when I think about social connections, right? We have very social kids. But one thing I always remember we did since the beginning is when we were in a playground or somewhere that there was new kids, that Zoe's very social. She always wanted to make friends. She would come and say, "Mommy, come with me and make a friend." We wouldn't do that. We would say, "Hey, this is how you do. You go there. You say hi. You say, my name is Zoe. Would you like to play with me?" Mm-hmm. And if they say no, you respect and you go find another kid. Like, you just don't cry because that kid doesn't want to play with you, right? So knowing how to learn the social, right, relationships that you're going to build with other people, that first of all, not everybody's going to do what you want them to do. Second of all, that's okay. Respect them and let them go. Third, you got to be friendly and welcome and be a person that other people want to be around. Otherwise, you're not going to have any friends if you're not being kind. And then, right, we are honorable because we honor people because we are honorable. So no matter what they do, you're going to still be honorable. You don't have to be friends with that person forever, but you still act with integrity and being honored with that person. So learning those social skills is important because when you get out of in the world, right, how are they going to act when you're not around? If you're the parent that's doing everything for them, they're not going to be socially secure when they're out there. And then when people make fun of them, they can't deal with it. Zoe, for example, she is very, I don't know how to describe her. She's very colorful. She loves patterns. She loves to wear them all together. She likes different hairs. She likes different shoes. She has her own style. And that's, I had to learn to allow her to be who she is and not put my visions and my ways of being in her and letting her be and let her wear what she wants to wear with, of course, with our principles and everything. But she's very colorful and I let her. But I also had to teach her to, when she's out there, when she goes to school, the way that she looks, because here in the house, she looks in the mirror, she sees her pretty. We all see her pretty and it's very colorful, but it's very pretty, right? So I always talk to her before she goes saying, "Zoe, you look very pretty and this is who you are. You might face some friends or some other people that might not like what you're wearing. They might laugh or they might not see the way you see, the beauty that you're seeing, and that's okay. But don't allow their feelings to affect you or who you are."
Yeah, change how you see yourself.
Yes.
Yep.
So that had helped her to be so confident and continue to do the things that she wants to do in her artistic ways, all her gifts. I don't want to ever put that down because of other kids that don't know and don't understand or even are jealous of her and don't know how to express, right? So I just want her to be strongly confident of who she is. And that's, I think that's really good because our kids are confident in who they are. Of course, there are social environments and a lot of challenges that we have faced, even especially since Zoe started elementary school. But we are always reaffirming those things here in our house because that's where everything flows. Mm-hmm. That's where she feels safe. That's why we need to have the open conversation. So that's where she will come and let all her emotions come out of her and then cry and then act up. And us as a parent gotta be sensitive to understand that something is deeper than what's on the surface. Mm-hmm. Something deeper is happening than just the crying, that just the behavior that's happening. Because if your kid spends the day at school and come home and is not acting like your normal kid, something is happening at school. And you as a parent, your job is to make a safe place, ask questions, and help your kid to be able and feel safe to open up and bring up those struggles or those challenges that they're facing and they don't know how to deal with.
You know, we talked about with this principle, encouraging social connections and service. And one of the things that, again, being around a church community makes service really easy, because for us, it's just part of who we are. It's part of everyday life for us. We go serve together, you and I, in the kids' service. And right now we're teaching for that past few years, actually, we've been teaching the 5-year-old class on Sundays, and Noah happens to be in that class now. Mm-hmm. So, and we started teaching that class when Zoe was in that class. Mm-hmm. So both of our kids now have gotten to witness us personally serving, again, modeling the behavior that we expect from them.
Now they want to serve with us.
Now they want to serve with us. So Zoe is serving in the worship team with the kids. She'll go on stage and sing, but sometimes after she sings on the weekends that we're serving, she'll come to our class because she wants to serve alongside us and serve with the younger kids.
But more than that, because our church, we consider us as our home, right? There's many times they're going for the summer camp, or you're going for something that's bigger and special. The more new kids, there are higher probability of new kids being there. I always have this conversation with them. This is your house. So your job is to welcome the new kids that don't know, that have never been here, and make them feel welcome and make them feel like this is their home. Like, you treat them like if you were at our house and you're welcoming new friends to your house, because this is our church home.
And now, how many times have we gotten awards, or we've gotten teachers reach out to us from their schools telling us, oh, Zoe was such a great help with the new kid that we had in class this week, or Noah was such a nice friend to our new friend that joined the class. And then just this past Sunday, we were serving in Noah's class, and there was a new kid, had never been to our church before. He was afraid, didn't want to leave his mom, didn't want to come into the classroom, was afraid to go in there. And all I did was call Noah over, and naturally he went out there to introduce himself to the kid and give the kid a friendly hand to welcome into the room from the very beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's so good. I'm so proud of them.
So let's wrap it up there. I think those are 5 really solid principles that I think will help anybody who's listening to this. If you're wanting to be more intentional about establishing and helping develop a strong identity within your kids, these 5 principles, and we'll review them again: consistent affirmation and validation, teaching principles and values, open and honest communication, role modeling, and encouraging social connections and service. If you can apply these principles to how you interact with your kids on a consistent basis, it's done wonders for our kids. And I'm really excited about who our kids are now, but I'm even more excited about who they're becoming, because the more they learn, the more they grow, the older they get, more and more of who they are deep inside is starting to come out. And it's just really, it's amazing to witness, and it's really humbling to get to be a big part of helping shape that for our kids.
Yes, I was just thinking about that today, where we were thinking of, I was thinking of the recording and how blessed I am to be their parents and to get to watch them growing and develop and becoming these amazing humans that God made them to be. And there are challenges, there are hard times, but that's part of life. But there's a lot of fun. And that's a lot of memories we are creating and helping them to become these amazing humans that they're going to be someday, and leaders and whatever they want to do in life. But I know that they're going to be kingdom builders because they love God.
Yeah. And hopefully we're cultivating relationships with them that mean so much that when they're adults and are living their own lives with their own families, they'll still choose us.
Yes.
They'll still choose to be around their parents. Mm-hmm. That's my dream. That's my vision for our future. And I've seen that modeled by people around us, yeah. families around us. And it's really inspiring for me. It's a yeah. picture of what's possible. And that's my vision for our future. So hopefully the effort that we're putting in today to developing strong identities within our kids and being intentional about how we parent them, hopefully that leads to that vision becoming a reality for us in our future as well.
Yes. So we hope that this have helped you with some real life examples of how we lead our family, how we parent our kids. And we're excited about this. We are very excited about parenting. And we'll continue this conversation next week.
God bless.
Until next time.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, please review, like, subscribe, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Legacy Minded Leadership on your preferred platform. You can also email us directly at legacymindedleadership@gmail.com if you have any questions or if you're interested in learning more about individual coaching with me or Maria. Until next time, stay focused on your purpose and remember that God loves you and He has great plans for your life.